Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short.
And I'm Juan Contreras.
And we're glad you're with us this evening. It's Sunday, September the 20th, 2020.
Wow.
It's a lot of 20s there, huh? So it's hard to believe how fast this time is going. The first day of fall is going to be this week. It's unbelievable. The air seems kind of crisp here in Virginia in the mornings and in the evenings.
53?
Yeah, that's a little cold for me. One of the guys that I work with said he got up, it was 48 at his house.
Wow.
So that's a little chilly. And the leaves will start changing soon. And you know, whenever fall comes, that means that we have a Bible prophecy series coming.
All right. That's right.
That's right. So that begins a week from tomorrow. So it'll be on September 28th, Monday, September 28th. We will begin a Bible prophecy series. And where do we find that, Ed? Where do we find that series streaming live?
It's at prophecyhope.com.
There we go. That's good. He did that from memory. He didn't even have to look at a piece of paper.
Yeah. And that's at 7 p.m.?
Eastern time.
Good.
Hey, see, you're helping me too with my memory. That's good. A couple of old men working together, it helps.
So what's this prophecy seminar going to be about?
You know, we're going to cover quite a few topics. The first night is about Bible prophecy for today. And we actually look at Daniel, the Bible book of Daniel. We'll go from Daniel chapter 2. And what that does, without giving it all away, it basically gives us a historical timeline from the time of Daniel, which was about 600 BC, all the way through to Christ coming, which is pretty neat. Now, go ahead, Ed.
So are you saying we're living in biblical times?
I believe we are living, In fact, I love that you said that because I always like to say, I hear people say all of the time, you know, well, back in Bible times, and what do I say, Ed?
Well, we are in Bible times.
That's exactly right. We're living Bible times now.
That's very true.
And we're not designed to think that way. This world deprograms us from biblical things and puts us into worldly things. Mm. But before we get started, I just wanted to say that I want to thank Ray Powers and New Visions Radio for giving us the broadcast time here every week. Week after week, he puts us on. And, you know, we talk about some pretty controversial topics sometimes. But the New Visions Radio audience is pretty controversial, I think. So they probably enjoy hearing some of the things. And if you're a Christian and you tune in and you listen, then I'm sure that you understand that the Bible is a pretty politically incorrect book, isn't it?
Oh, wow. Yes.
It really is.
Unpopular and it's politically incorrect.
It's very unpopular, especially today. And so thanks, Ray, for putting us on the air. And as also, if people want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And if you want to reach me, it's ed@prophecyhope.com.
And Juan, we don't have a Prophecy Hope email, and I don't know if you have an email that you have for the public, for people who tune in. Not at the moment. Maybe. Okay. So if you want to reach Juan, if you send a message to office@prophecyhope.com and just address it to him, and he will get that message if you send something. So also, let's see. Don't forget our brother Rick. His email is rick@prophecyhope.com. He's not with us, and he'll be kind of hit and miss maybe for a little while. Just some things have come up in his life, but Rick is doing well. He's still here. In fact, he gave the sermon yesterday, so you can go online and you can view that. And also, let's see, was there something else? Am I forgetting something, Ed?
Well, who are we?
Oh, yeah. Who are we? Well, I'm Mark, and you're Ed.
We're part of a little ministry in Virginia that's called Prophecies of Hope.
Yes.
We're a little church that worships on Saturday or the Sabbath.
Yeah.
We have a Bible study time, which we call Sabbath School at 9:30 on Saturday mornings.
That's right.
And then we have our worship service at 11, and we also meet during the week for a Bible study on Wednesdays.
Wednesday at 7 o'clock also. And and if you're ever in the Stanton, Virginia area, we're at 1743 West Beverly Street. We would love for you to pay us a visit. And Brother Juan is here from California with his family. We're glad to have you here. This is your second time on the air with us.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Brother Juan is a very knowledgeable Christian brother, and he studies his Bible regularly, and I'll tell you, there haven't been many things that we've talked about that he hasn't known things and taught me quite a few things from the Scriptures, and I really appreciate that very much. And so I guess we need to get our study started, and we have to open with prayer. And Brother Juan, would you start with prayer for us, please?
Sure. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful for life. Thank you. Thankful for having us here, sharing the Bible and sharing truths that we find in the Bible with everyone who has an ear. We pray, dear Father, that you enlighten us and you'll give us a desire to come to know you and your dear Son. So we ask for your blessing, and we ask that you'll help us to be able to share what we have in mind, and that our words may be clear and whatever we share may be understood. We thank you and we ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, we were just talking right before we fired these microphones up. We were talking about our walk and how each of us, everybody, I don't care who you are, if you're tuned into this program, every individual has a different walk.
Yeah.
And we all have different thoughts about different things. Mm. And we discussed for just a couple of minutes how even in the Bible writers were allowed to express their own personalities in the Gospels. Mm-hmm. It came through. So not all of us think exactly alike, but it's interesting that the three of us have come together from various backgrounds, and there are things that we found in the Bible that we see in common that brought us here together this evening. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And some of these things are things that if we were to go out of this particular church, which this studio where we're broadcasting from is actually in the church, and if we were to walk out the front door and go down to the church down the street, there's one about not even a quarter of a mile away, we would walk in there and there would be major differences in doctrines.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to figure out, how do we draw the conclusions? Where do our doctrines come from? You know, what do we learn? Why is it that this ministry stands different? For example, you mentioned it a moment ago, Ed. We come together on Saturday, mm-hmm. and we have Sabbath school. Most churches come together on Sunday and have Sunday school. Mm. So this sets us apart from probably 95% of Christian denominations. Now, there are a lot of denominations that keep the seventh-day Sabbath. And I'm sure there are names that come to your mind right off the bat of major churches, major denominations that do that. But here we are, this little independent ministry that keeps the seventh-day Sabbath. Go ahead.
So do you keep the seventh-day Sabbath because a denomination keeps it?
You know, that's a great question. Should it be that way in your understanding? Because my church does it, I'm going to do it?
It shouldn't be that way, no.
So what should be the litmus test for
our basis should be the Bible, what the Bible teaches.
Okay.
In that regard.
Amen. So, you know, I believe what the Bible says, and I believe it's in 2 Timothy. I can never remember if it's 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I don't have this here. I'm opening my Bible now. And it must be in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm in 2 now, where it talks about the Bible being inspired of God. Mm. Isn't that
3:16?
Is that? I know John 3:16. But why can I not find that, Brother Juan? Can you pull that up for us?
Let me try to pull that
up. It talks about all Scripture being inspired of God and beneficial for teaching and.
I think there's one. Either 2 Timothy 3:15.
I believe that's the one. Yes. It says, actually, you're right, Ed. It is 3:16.
3:16.
Wow. I'm thinking. I don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah, this is what it says.
That's how I remember what it is, John 3:16.
John 3:16, 2 Timothy 3:16. So here's what it says. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So it says here that it's for doctrine. So I guess, Juan, the question that you're asking is, it shouldn't come from my church. It should come from God's Word. Ed, did you have a thought there?
Yeah, I do. I wanted to read it a little differently than you read it.
Yeah. What translation are you using there?
My own.
Oh, okay.
So Let me ask you a question. Do these verses say that the scriptures are for me to debate and reproof and correct and instruct others in righteousness?
No, it doesn't.
It's for myself.
It's for me, yeah.
It's for me to be reproved, for me to be instructed in righteousness, for me to be corrected.
That's right. Yeah, but so many times we can use the Bible to kind of, I don't know, beat people upside the head with it, right? Yeah. And beat them up with doctrine. But the thing is, where we arrive at these understandings, and the problem is there's so many, and I'm guilty of this, I'm putting myself in this category, because you mentioned how we come together on the Sabbath. This particular topic for me was very difficult. Even though I saw what the Bible said, I wanted to do what I wanted to do. It's just natural for me to be a selfish person and want to do and worship that. Well, all of my family goes to church on Sunday, and you know they believe this way, and this is the way my family's always done it. So who do I want to please, myself, my family, or my Creator? And the answer should be my Creator. So, Brother Juan, you have a thought?
Actually, Jesus said some very words that would be considered strong words.
Okay.
When we place our family members before Him, we're not worthy of Him.
Yeah, do you have that text? Is that a Mark?
Let's for it here.
I have, there was a text. You go ahead. You have it there? Is that the Gospel of Mark? Is that where you are? Or are you in a different gospel?
Look at Luke 14:26.
Okay, go ahead. You have that, Ed?
No, I just looked it up, though.
All right. Go ahead, Brother Juan.
Did you say Luke 14?
Luke 14:26.
All right. You have that?
No.
Man, I can't believe I'm faster with the old pages there.
Okay, I have it.
Okay.
Okay, starting in verse 25. This section of my Bible, which is the Modern King James Version, is called The Cost of Discipleship.
Oh, you know, that's an interesting heading, isn't it?
And in verse 25 it says, "And great crowds went with him, and he turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life also, he cannot become my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me, he cannot be my disciple.'" And he goes on to tell a story about someone who's preparing to build a tower who does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it.
You know, the word, it uses the word, and I think the King James does too, if you don't hate these people. What does that mean?
It means that you don't love Christ more than your family.
Right, right. We have to understand the biblical language that's being used.
It doesn't mean to hate. It means you have a lesser love for them than you do for Christ or
his
Father. We
have to have greater affection for Christ.
Yes, absolutely. And then the question that he asks, you know, if anybody's going to build a house or a tower, whatever it is, you have to make sure you can afford it.
Yes.
Well, the cost of discipleship, it's expensive, isn't it? It can be.
It can cost you your marriage.
It can.
It can cost you your family. It can even cost you your job.
But let me ask you something. Is the cost of discipleship worth it?
Yes.
Well, read Matthew 19:29. See what that says.
All right.
What's that say there, brother?
Matthew 19:29 reads, I'm reading from the King James Version.
Mm-hmm. Matthew 19:29, where are you?
Yeah, let's see.
I'm going to give you a little more gain, brother. You got to get on that mic a little bit.
And everyone that has forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life.
Yeah. You know, this is just a personal testimony. I was struggling with keeping the Sabbath. It was something that I had started, I was debating, you know, should I do this or not? Or, you know, I have to close my business on Saturday. It's my most profitable day. What am I going to do? And you know, if I begin to do this, and my family and my friends at church see me doing these things, they could potentially pull away from me. And keep in mind that the church that I was a part of, there's a high cost because they completely excommunicate you. Yeah. So one night, you know, I went to bed. I always pray at night. And I woke up at about 2-something in the morning. And I had this old Bible that I'm holding in my hand, my old torn and tattered Bible. And I picked it up off of the nightstand and had the light on. And I, when I opened it, it popped open right here to Mark chapter 10, which is a scripture that goes right along with what you're saying. It's the same account. It's just recorded. And here's what it says. Well, actually, in this account, Jesus was talking about how difficult it is for a rich man to get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, think about this. Here I am. By no means am I a rich man, but I was thinking, well, this is going to cost me if I close my business. But what was I putting first? So if I read this in its context, it's talking about it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. But here is where my eyes went. My Bible popped open to Mark chapter 10, and my eyes went immediately to verse 28 and 29. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." And verse 29 says, "So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." And you know, at that moment, when I read that, the weight of it, the cost of discipleship, the cost of discipleship, it was heavy on my heart. And I got up out of bed and I went into the other room, into a little office that I have, and I got on my knees. And I claimed this promise. I said, "Father, your son made a promise, and I'm claiming it. I can't do this on my own. I need your help." And I'm going to tell you, at first it seemed overwhelming. It seems overwhelming. But I'm so much happier today than I've ever been following the ways of my own, following my own ways. The cost is worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah.
And so when we study things or we see things, if I'm in a church that maybe, okay, well, my church is a Sunday church, and I say, well, I've studied the Bible and I've come to understand the Sabbath truth, what do I do? What do I do? Well, I'll tell you what I did. I'll just share this so everybody knows. I continued in the church I was in because I didn't know any better. I didn't know where else to go. But I started keeping the Sabbath holy and doing what God said on that day, even though I was still going to that Sunday church, until the provision was made to where I could get out of there and worship with others that had the same understanding. So God meets us where we are. You know, sometimes we have this feeling, well, I've got to cut my family off and I've got to... No, if you can witness to them along the way...
Yeah.
And I think at first, you know, when I first started learning these things, I should have been locked up in a cage because I was so excited. I wanted to share it with everybody. And sometimes that turns people off because we're so excited. Have you had any experience like that where you learned something?
A lot of people don't want to hear it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they're happy where they're at.
Yeah.
It's
true. It's comfortable.
It's comfortable, yeah.
Yeah. Brother Juan, have you had any experience like that at all?
Some people would rather not know. I mean, I've shared when I first started learning, there was some interest with the people I shared. But again, it asks for quite a bit, right? You got to make a commitment.
You do.
People are not willing to make that commitment.
Right.
You know? So it reminded me of the verse that I was looking for earlier. Matthew 10:37, where Jesus says, "He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." So I guess we need to realize that Christ, the Father loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
And Christ loves us so much that he was willing to die for us.
Yes.
And so until we realize that, then maybe we can, our eyes can be open and see that the great love for us.
Yeah, that's right. So, Ed, there's something in particular that you have found that was maybe different than what you had been taught.
Yes,
that made an impact on you.
You know, after getting involved in our little ministry, which changed from where we started, is learning to study God's Word to see what it says versus studying God's Word to make it say what others told me it said or what my church teaches. And where I put that to the test, where I applied those principles of studying God's Word just to see what it says, mm-hmm. to study in the context that it's written, and to compare other scriptures to the scripture I'm studying,
yeah,
that's where the change started in my life. And that's found in Colossians chapter 2.
So let me just to clarify, are you saying to let the Bible speak for itself?
Definitely.
Okay. So don't, and this is, I think for me, it's easier said than done. Mm-hmm. Because I come with a certain amount of baggage.
Yeah.
And I remember all of the things that I was taught. And it doesn't discount everything that I was taught. It doesn't mean that everything is wrong.
Right.
Because I'm sure we were all taught things that are really good foundational Bible truths. Yeah. But we have to hold on to what is truth, hold fast to that, which is good, uh-huh. right? But I have to be willing to let go of error.
Yes. And believe it because the Bible says it, not because my pastor says it, my church teaches it, yeah. or my favorite preacher or author says it. You've got to be willing to do that. It's a choice you have to make when you see that the Bible says something different than what people told you it said.
Yeah. Or even my family.
Yes.
Yes. That's a difficult one for a lot of people.
Yeah. Let me just quickly share these couple of verses here.
Sure.
So Paul in Colossians 2:1 says, "For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those at Laodicea." This is the modern King James Version. Mm-hmm. "And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, to all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, to the full knowledge of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ." Now, famous pastor, someone I respect, I've read his books, says this verse in Colossians 2:2 says, this proves it, that God is a mystery, you can't understand him, you can't explain the Trinity.
Wow.
But when I read the words on the page, Mark, verse 2 says, "To all the riches of the full assurance of the understanding, for the full knowledge of the mystery of God, and for the full knowledge of the Father, and the full knowledge of Christ." Mm. How can this say that God is a mystery?
Well, you have the full knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah. Knowledge is knowing.
Yeah.
That is. Right?
And He's it doesn't. Revealing. And right. First of all, it doesn't say God is a mystery.
No.
It says the mystery of God. And if you take the time to read around it, go to chapter 1, you'll find what the mystery is. It's chapter 2, verse 2, it's not saying God is a mystery. It says God is the owner of a mystery, and Paul wants you to know what that mystery is.
Yes, that's right.
And that mystery, if you read chapter 1, is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which was hidden from the ages and revealed to the saints.
Yeah. You know, Ed,
that changed my life.
I know it did.
That way of studying God's Word to know what it actually says changed my life. Mm.
But just the word mystery, what does it bring?
Yeah, it makes you think of something that's incomprehensible, right? Yeah.
There's no way of you knowing it because it's a mystery, right?
Yeah. You know, we've talked in weeks past. We talked last week about Bible study and how to study. We talked about softwares and things. For those of you who listen, go to your Bible program. Ed, I think you did this. And you type that word mystery. In. Mystery, that word.
22 hits. 22 verses.
22 verses. And what your discovery was pretty amazing when you did that, wasn't it?
Well, if you do that and go to each verse that in your search, read it in context.
Yeah.
Most of them were talking about the gospel.
Hmm.
The gospel is Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, his blood covered our sins so we could be reconciled to the Father, Romans 5. And not only are we reconciled through his death, but we are, how much more are we saved by his life?
Yeah.
Romans 5:10.
By his life now.
Yes.
Right? So we have to remember that Christ, you know, I hear a lot of people say that, well, our Savior lives. But keep in mind, he's doing something for us. He's interceding.
Yes.
He's our high priest. So all of those Old Testament rituals that pointed to him have been fulfilled in Christ. So now we get to the Father strictly through him, through his Son.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
So that's where I started applying some of these Bible principles. And it will open up the Word to you. It will cause you to have greater understanding. It will give you... And pray those promises we talked about last week for understanding, for wisdom, for the spirit of truth.
That's right. And, you know, Brother Juan, do you have something you want to share? You okay? So, you know, this is another thing that one of the things that I have always believed and I've found through a study of the Bible that I was in error was the resurrection and what happens. In other words, I was taught, all of us here believe in a resurrection, and most Christians do. But many Christians believe that that resurrection happens when we die, right? In other words, I die and I'm resurrected. That's what most Christians believe. I'm either going to go to heaven or hell.
Right.
And we've done programs on right here on New Visions Radio where we've shown what happens when we die, that when we die, we're truly dead. Well, then, even though I had that understanding, go ahead, Ed.
Define what you mean by truly dead.
In other words, I know nothing. I have no consciousness, no love, right. No hatred, no envy. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes 9, 5, 6, and 10.
Yeah.
So it's very clear. When Lazarus came out of the tomb when Jesus resurrected him, he didn't say, Lord, I was in heaven with your father and you brought me back here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right.
And
there
was
just silence.
Right, exactly. It's just like, where were you 100 years ago? Well, you were almost alive, Ed, but you're not quite
close.
I'm sorry, I had to go.
No.
But you know, we didn't exist. Yeah. So death is that it's back to non-existence. But our the memory of us is in God's memory,
yes.
And when He resurrects us, we'll have all of the intellect that we have now. We will know who we are. We'll know each other. And we'll know who God is and His Son.
We'll have a body like Christ.
That's it.
Philippians 3.
And see, this is something that's new to me.
Yeah.
And when I say new to me, this has come to me in the past decade. Because all of my life, I was taught that there were a couple of different groups of people. And that the resurrection, that flesh and blood could not inherit the kingdom of God. And in finding out what that meant so much to me.
Can I read that from Philippians 3, 20 and 21?
Would you please?
It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we are looking for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our body of humiliation so that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working of his power, even to subdue all things to himself.
Mm. Yeah, that's nice. Our citizenship is in heaven.
Yes.
Now, does that mean, let me ask you, does that mean that we're going to live for eternity in heaven?
Not from what I see the Bible says.
Okay. Well, why don't we take a look at that real quick? Because this is something, you know, I believed all of my life that I'd never see heaven.
Really?
Yeah. And then finally when I studied the Bible and I thought,
wow. Does that mean you would be in a hot place?
Well, anybody that knows me would probably say yes.
But that's not what you're talking about.
No. I was always taught that I would live here on the earth and never get to see the heavenly realm.
Hmm.
But according to the Bible, we've touched on this is going to be one of the topics of the series coming up.
Okay.
Will this world actually end? It seems very evident from the Bible that there is a period of time that we will see heaven. The righteous will. The unrighteous will not. And it's, you know, without getting into that, because I don't want to give that away.
Yeah.
Remember that series is, we're in 2020, so it's September the 28th through October the 3rd, if you're hearing this live.
A little bit more than a week away.
Yeah, just a week and a day, huh? So anyway, I was always taught, according to 1 Corinthians 15:50, let's take a look at that text, right, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Because looking at it in its context, if there's anybody that would be listening to this program that comes from the same background I do, this is their go-to text to show that, well, flesh and blood can inherit the kingdom of God. But when we look at it in its context, it means so much more. And like you said, Ed, that word mystery, the context was so important, yes, wasn't, yeah, it? So what does it say there?
Can I interrupt you just,
yes,
a second?
Yes, please.
That verse 1550 have a heading. It says mystery and victory.
Really? Mine says our final victory. Okay. Yours says mystery and victory. Yeah. That's interesting. So
look at verse 51. You'll see why.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, I see why now. I see, okay, it. So let me read. Well, would you read that? Would you read verses? Just start on verse 50.
Okay. And I say this, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption.
Okay, stop. I'm stopping you because from my background, they would read, now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, and they stop right there. And there's a danger, a great danger in that, because my whole life I was taught a false theology because I was stopping where I was taught to stop. I was believing what my church taught, the very dangerous thing you talked about at the very beginning, yeah, Ed. So when go ahead and continue that verse. Nor does corruption, it said.
Nor does corruption inherit incorruption.
Okay, keep going.
Behold, I speak a mystery to you. We shall not all fall asleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the glance of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed.
Hmm.
We just read a verse talking about our bodies being changed by Christ.
That's right. That's what this is saying.
Changed a body like his glorious body.
Yes. So, in other words, if any Christian that is listening to this, you know, it's hard to cover every topic fully in every program, but we know and understand that Adam and Eve were created with the ability to live forever. And when they ate the fruit, they lost that eternal life because they were told, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And something had changed not only within them, but evidently outwardly,
yeah,
as well,
yeah,
because they lost their righteousness. They were given righteousness. We're made in the image of God. Psalm 104 tells us that God has a robe of light. He's covered with a garment of light.
And they discovered themselves that their body had changed because they felt naked.
They did. And what did they do, Brother Juan, when they felt naked? They actually went out in the forest, and what did they do?
Yeah, they actually went out and made themselves some, what is it, aprons?
Yeah, they made garments. It says they took fig leaves, right?
Right.
And they sewed them together and covered themselves. But God made a provision for them. And what was that provision?
A coat, sir. From lamb, which I believe it was from
I lamb. Believe that was, it doesn't say lamb, but I think, right, Jesus being the Lamb of God. We've mentioned this a little bit on this program, and we talk about it in depth on the Prophecies of Hope website, and you can find sermons that are right along these lines. The point is, God wants us back to where he originally wanted things.
Yes.
He wants righteous people to live forever.
He wants to have a relationship with us.
And be with them forever.
Face to face.
Absolutely. Just like, I don't know of any parent that doesn't want their child to be with them for as long as they can.
Mm.
And this is what we have. We have a Heavenly Father and His Son that want to have an eternity with their people. And that's what this is saying. It says, now this I say, brethren, in 1 Corinthians 15:50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, but the context is, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. So the flesh isn't talking about that I won't have a body when I'm in heaven. I'll have a body, but it'll be a glorious body, like you said, a body like Christ was resurrected with. Remember, he said, touch and see. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bone as you see I have. Give me some fish and I'll eat it with you. Remember that?
If you go to verse 53, it talks about this mortal must put on immortality. We are mortals. Our bodies will die.
Right, because of sin.
If Christ doesn't come, I will die.
Right, we all will.
Yeah.
And so when it's talking about when it says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." And then in verse 52, "In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye," it's talking about those who are alive that are Christ's at his coming.
Doesn't matter if you're dead or alive, you still have to have this change.
You have to be changed, right? That's right. Now, this is speaking, if you notice there, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, the trumpet will sound," and there it is, "the dead will be raised incorruptible," those who are in the tombs, "and we," that's the living, if we're alive at that time, "shall be changed to those incorruptible bodies." You have a thought, Brother Juan?
You mentioned earlier about, I think you asked if we will be spending eternity in heaven.
Because most people, most Christians that I talk to say, yes, in heaven.
Well, the earth was made to be inhabited.
Yes, in the does the Bible place. Tell us that somewhere?
Well, we turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 5.
Jesus' words himself, huh?
Yes, he tells us that, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth."
Yes, that's right.
So the meek or the humble will inherit the earth. And it's also in the Old Testament. If you read Psalm 37:11, it reads, "But the meek will possess the earth."
That's right. And live forever upon it.
Right.
That's what
so
it says.
So that's where the redeemer, the ransomed ones, will live forever, is on earth.
Now, there is a little intermission there for a while.
Right.
And the Bible's very clear on that. Ed, you have a thought?
Well, I was just going to say, Revelation talks about that intermission.
Yes, it does, in Revelation chapter 20.
Yeah.
And, you know, so read that, friends. Read Revelation 20. It might be kind of confusing at first, but there's actually a program where Rick and I, several years ago, covered Revelation 20, 21, and 22. And we walk you through that in a very simplistic way, kind of trying to simplify it a little bit. And also, you know, there's another place that most people, there are words that most people say, especially my Catholic family, they say it almost every day, and that's the Lord's Prayer. You know, in that prayer, Jesus said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," right?
"Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On earth
as it is in heaven."
There you go. So he was praying for that kingdom to be
come
here.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting is he mentions, "Hallowed be thy name." In other words, let your name be holy, or let it be sanctified, right? So in order to make a name holy, we have to know what that name is.
Right.
Matthew 5:12 says, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for your reward in heaven is great."
Okay. Mm-hmm. So see, when I read texts like that, to the person that maybe hasn't studied completely, they say, "Well, wait a minute, which is it? Is it in heaven or is it on earth?"
Yeah.
Because he said, "The meek will inherit the earth," and it says, "Your reward in heaven will be great."
Right.
Well, I think it's both.
Well, that's why it's important for us to read Revelation 20, right?
Yes, that's exactly why. That's exactly why.
Then we can understand.
We can understand it much better.
Right.
And so even Daniel chapter 2, you know, in Daniel chapter 2, he talks about this kingdom that will fill the whole earth with God's glory.
Is it Daniel 2:44?
Yes, that's where it is.
Kingdom that will never end.
It will never be destroyed. No. That's right. And it will put an end to all the earthly kingdoms. So here's the other thing. This is a good subject because so many times, and it's unfortunate, I've talked to people, even Christians, that have said, "You know, I don't want to live forever on this earth." Mm. And, you know, I think the reason why is because we picture it the way it is now.
Mm.
We picture death. We picture things dying. The economic system that we have to put our trust in. We have, you know, we work every day, all these jobs. We have to work jobs. And I think the work in the new world will be joyful.
Yeah.
You know, we're told in the Psalms, "You will not build in someone else take occupancy. You'll live in your house." And so all of these things, you know, having eternity, and somebody might say, "Well, I would get bored if I lived for an eternity." I've never been bored in my life.
Right, exactly.
I don't know. It's just there's so much that I want to see and want to do. And even in this sinful world, you know, Ed, almost every Sabbath when we come together, especially in the spring when everything's starting to wake up, We talk about how beautiful it is here in Virginia.
And the valley.
Yeah, where we live. And I never get tired of seeing the mountains. I never get tired of watching the birds and watching the animals and going to see the waterfall, wherever we go.
Yeah.
It never gets old. And the other thing is our health in the new world, in the new heavens and the new earth. What's that going to be like?
No more death, no more sickness,
no more pain.
Yeah. There's a text in Revelation that talks about that, isn't it? In the last chapter of the Bible. Let's take a look at that. And I think, you know, it's unfortunate that many of us have heard of these things, but we think maybe the location we have, we think it's going to take place here or there. Let's face it, once Christ comes, if we are his, if we are Abraham's seed, then we never have to worry about those things ever again.
Right.
We will live for an eternity. So I believe it's, you know, it's funny, I don't have my study Bible out here, but in Revelation chapter 20, this is beautiful because listen to what it says in verse 1. I'm just going to start in verse 1. It says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life." Hey, wasn't that tree of life early on in the Bible? Don't we find that in Genesis?
Yes.
And here it is right at the close of the Bible. It says, "This tree of life bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there, they need no lamp or light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever."
Can I share a section from Revelation 21?
Please.
4. Actually, starting with verse 3. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no more mourning, nor crying out, nor will there be any more pain, for the first things passed away."
Wow. Does that sound like somewhere you'd like to be forever?
Yes.
It does to me too. And the thing is, this journey starts now.
Yes.
It begins today. If there's anything in your life that has kept you from opening God's Word or from coming to Jesus Christ and getting on your knees and asking the Father in the name of Jesus to forgive you for anything that you've done, take that time now.
Yes.
Because that journey can start from the moment that you've heard these words on this program. Whatever your life has been, we have a promise. You can put that behind you.
It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what condition your life is in. God desires to have you as part of his kingdom.
He does. Brother Juan, you have a thought. You leaned in.
No, I could just completely agree that, you know, God wants us to be there. And that's why he gave his son in the first place.
Yeah.
You know? And through Jesus Christ, you can have power to overcome whatever problems you have in your life, no matter how insurmountable they may seem to you.
Can show us a verse, Ed, that tells us that what you just said. Is there something that you can find? I know Ed thinks knows a lot about the grace that God gives us through his son, about how Christ helps us to overcome things. And, you know, there's just so many things. We're promised over and over by Jesus that he will help us to overcome.
Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident in this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ."
So he doesn't just leave us. He doesn't just say, okay, you're on your own now.
Right.
Right? Juan, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I just wanted to share 1 John 1:9, which reads, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins And it keeps saying, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he'll forgive us and then he'll make us fit so that we can be in that kingdom.
Okay, so, you know, we need to look at this on a practical level, because so many people are saying, well, what does that look like? I mean, how do I confess my sins? Do I have to go to a priest for that? Because a lot of our friends, they might go to an Episcopal or a Catholic church, and they might feel like, I've got to go to the priest to do that.
We're simply just talking to God. We call it prayer.
Okay.
You can use just everyday words. Just, you know, say, you know, God, I realize I messed up in my life. I'm doing things that I know that are not right. Can you please forgive me for those things? Can you help me overcome these things in my life? Can you help me straighten out my life? And pray in the name of Jesus Christ, his son.
Well, we actually have to go to a priest to confess our sins. And that priest is Christ Jesus.
Yes. Can you show me a verse that proves that?
Well, there's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that man is Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And he's, I think it's Hebrews 8, I believe. If you can help.
You go ahead and look that up, because, look, so the point is, you're not talking about an earthly priest.
Right.
We're talking about a heavenly priest.
Right.
Our high priest, Christ Jesus.
Yes.
So.
And that's found in Hebrews 8, verse 1.
Okay.
Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So this is our high priest, which is Christ Jesus.
Christ Jesus.
He's a priest that we need to go to.
Yes.
To confess our sins.
So we can say, since this is the man Christ Jesus, it says, we would use the phrase, we wouldn't have an earthly priest. It's a heavenly priest.
That's correct. Yeah.
Romans chapter 5.
Okay.
Verse 6. For we yet being without strength to overcome sin in our lives, without strength to be obedient to God, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That means you and me and whoever's listening. Yeah. It doesn't matter what your life is like, what you've done. Christ came to die for you.
Yes, he did.
Verse 7 says, for one will with difficulty die for a righteous one, talking about a human person. Yet perhaps one would even dare to die for a good one. But God commended his love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for me. He died for you. Much more than now being justified by his blood, we shall save from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That life he wishes to live within us, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we allow Christ to be in us, he changes our behavior.
So true.
Galatians 5 talks about not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, Christ will give us love, joy, peace, long-suffering. These things,
goodness,
that
faith.
There's no law against doing these things.
Right, right. So, you know, this is quite interesting, because so many people will read these texts, and I want to make this clear. You know, we're looking at this on a practical level, so we have to be honest in these things. So many people will read these things, and they'll say, well, okay, I've confessed my sins to Christ, but I'm going to continue to do the things that I do.
Peter in Acts chapter 2, he's preaching through the power of the Holy Spirit. They're speaking in tongues, and they're accused of being drunk.
Right.
And Peter says, well, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. How can we be drunk? And he goes on to preach the gospel. And the people that are listening to him are pricked in their heart. They say to Peter, what must we do? And Peter says, repent and be baptized.
Oh, repent. What does repent mean?
It means to turn away from sin.
Okay.
Stop sinning.
Okay. And that's easier said than done, isn't it?
I cannot do that on my own power.
Okay.
That's why Jesus Christ was sent to this earth, not only to die for our sins, but to give us power to overcome sin in our lives because of his life that he now wishes to live in us.
Okay, so that word repent is so important. In fact, this was the same message that Paul was preaching in Acts chapter 17, where he finds these people that are worshiping a particular way, and he's trying to help them. And this is interesting, Acts 17:30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. Why? Because they didn't know any better. See, so if you've lived a life and you've lived a life of sin, put it behind you, because look what he says next. He said, God overlooks us in these times of ignorance, but now commands all men everywhere to, there's that word again,
repent.
There's the word. And then it talks about a time which with which he will judge us in righteousness. So, you know, if, go ahead, Ed.
You said you want us to be real about life.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's it.
Life for anyone, no matter how long you've been a Christian, is not necessarily easy.
No, it's not.
You have to make a choice. Do I want to follow God or not? And with those choices come difficulties. Difficulties overcoming the things that this law of sin, as Paul calls it, that dwells within me, wants mm-hmm. me to do versus the law of God.
Right.
And it's only through the power of Christ that we can overcome. We have to want to. We have to desire to follow God. We have to ask for his strength to overcome sin in our lives. He has promised to give it to us and to you that's listening.
Yes, that's right.
But you have to have faith, and you have to work towards that along with Christ working in you. You have to want that.
Remember, you count the cost.
Yes, right? Count the cost of being a Christian.
And I'm going to tell you, it's worth it. It's more than worth it. I mean, I can't tell you. You know, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it on this program. If the whole Bible, if these promises that we are promised, that I believe are absolute, there's no question of the things that we've read here this evening. I believe they're absolute truth, and I believe they hold fast. But even if these things weren't true, if I live by the guidelines, by the commandments that are written in this book called the Bible, my life is going to be much better as a result of just following it, whether I get those promises or not. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to live healthier. I'm going to have friends, true friends, rather than just superficial friends.
Right.
All of these things. So even if I didn't have those promises, I'm better off for following it. But if I do follow it, I know that I've got eternity in view.
Can I paraphrase Romans chapter 6?
Sure.
It talks about baptism, that when we're baptized into Christ, we're like we're dying with him when we're buried in baptism under the water. And that when we're raised to a newness of life. That sin is destroyed when we're buried with him in Christ. Sin no longer has power over us.
Right, that's right.
We're raised in a new life in Christ Jesus.
And it doesn't mean that the devil's not going to tempt us.
No, he'll probably go after you harder.
Probably will. We have proof of that in the Bible with Jesus, right?
Right.
So, Brother Juan?
Yeah, we have this other verse as well in Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper.
Mm.
But notice what the following says. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So we not only need to confess, but forsake whatever sin we're confessing.
Which is repentance, right? You repentance. Leave it, you turn away from
exactly,
it.
Exactly, yes.
Brother Rick has a saying.
Yeah.
Does God have a better plan for my life than I do?
Right.
You have to give up your own life, your own plans sometimes, to live the plan that God created you to live.
Mm.
And it's different what the world will tell you will bring happiness.
Absolutely.
It's different what the world says
much different.
Is you should do.
It's much different. And that's the difficulty, because everybody wants to be liked.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to have friends. And maybe there's a particular friend that you're particularly close to that when you start reading the Bible and you start praying and you start asking for forgiveness and your lifestyle starts to change, that friend may pull away from you.
Yeah.
But you hold faithful, that friend might turn their life around too.
That's right.
You can influence people.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, usually bad influence takes root for most of us. Yeah. You know, the Bible tells us bad associations ruin our good habits, right? But at the same time, while I don't recommend going out and finding a bunch of bad friends and hanging with them, that good association can rub off on them too, especially if you're quoting from the Word of God and you're lovingly sharing these things, not beating them over the head with it.
Yeah.
You know, remember I told you I should have been caged up for a while.
Right.
You know?
The reason we're sharing this with you is because of the joy and hope it's brought to our lives. It's made a difference in our lives.
Yes.
And we're from different backgrounds.
Yes, very different.
Different lives. And it's made a difference in all of our lives.
Absolutely. Brother Juan, any closing comments? Any thoughts?
Well, I think the last scripture that I mentioned, if we want to obtain mercy, we need to confess our sins and forsake our sins. And He is more than willing to give us that help that we need in order for us to forsake them.
Yeah, that's right.
He's more than willing.
That's why we have His Word, the Bible, isn't it?
That's right.
And that's why we have a high priest in heaven, Christ Jesus, that will come to us and help us.
As a matter of fact, right now that you mentioned the Bible, you reminded me of what David said, "In my heart I have hid your word, so that I will not sin against you." So reading and feeding ourselves from the Word of God is very vital for our spiritual walk.
Last thought, Ed?
It takes a measure of faith.
It does.
But absolutely. God has given to each one of us a measure of faith.
He has. I believe that's instinctively put in us, isn't it?
Yeah.
He put that there. So it's hard to believe we're out of time. An hour goes by so fast.
Yeah.
So, Brother Ed, would you close with prayer for us?
Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for this gift you've given us of your Son that we learn about in your Word, the Bible, how knowing Christ, knowing what He's done for us, gives us power to overcome sin in our lives. These things, Father, the way I'm living my life now is maybe not the way I should be living it. I just ask that you give me power to overcome these things in my life so I can truly honor and worship you and be a blessing to others around me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. So friends, that's the prayer. That's the prayer you pray. And thank you, Ed, for that. And I just want to tell you, we'll be back here next week, right here on New Visions Radio, Lord willing. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.